gonna fucking trash your lights? Do you know I'm gonna fucking trash them? Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
It's fucking distracting. Oh, good! It's fucking distracting.
And welcome back to Geeks at College.
What was that? I don't know.
That shouldn't make me laugh as much as it does.
It really did. Like, wait, I'm not using it as a microphone. I'm not even drunk yet. Yeah, welcome, you guys.
And
this is life. This is really life.
This is life for somebody who's not doing classes for a year. Oh, alcohol and kidney problems.
Oh, and weed. Don't forget weed. Ever forget weed.
I have 5 weeks left until I graduate, and at that point I'm just assuming I'm going to go straight to...
How are you not neglecting everything? Oh wait, it's college.
Yeah. I'm not neglecting my senior projects and all the things I want in my portfolio while I'm taking all the classes with people I'm hoping to get recommendations from.
Because now, to me, the concept of a senioritis is just stupid. It's for children's. It's for the children's.
I think that senioritis seems to kick in, actually, for most people around, like, weeks 8 and 9 of the quarter, when it's just like, okay, most of the big work is done, now it's just setting up resume stuff.
No, that's when I, like, want to kill myself. Like, I gotta nail the grade.
Alright.
Which is why I'm not in school for a year.
Alright.
So I can learn not to do that and do all my work in the first weeks.
Alright. I'm your host, Casey, or as I'm known in one class...
The Quesarito?
El Queso.
I love that. Why didn't we think of that? Why did we call you Ginger App for, like, the first year of this fucking show?
We went with El Queso for a while, actually.
We did? I don't remember this. Why am I still talking about this beer?
And then someone pointed out to me that Queso was Spanish for cheese, and I was just like...
Oh, I probably did that.
No, it was Taylor. He's somewhat fluent in Spanish.
Still part Cuban.
But he,
still part Cuban, vato.
Yeah, so is my roommate Jose, but...
Yeah, you don't hear him calling you vato, don't you?
No, he just...
Or chingones.
He just calls me racist pig who needs to get out of his life. Either way, I'm your host, El Queso, and this is my... Not necessarily partner in crime, because that implies that we are of equal ground.
I don't know, I think I have higher ground over you.
When are you graduating again, Chris?
When are you killing yourself? Alright, in 5 weeks when you don't have a job.
Actually, I have my life set up in 5 weeks.
Oh, well. Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I'm always saying...
I forget the fucking other parts of that Christian Bale rant. It's been so long. I've still been using this shit since, like, 2009.
Well, that's the thing. The Christian Bale rant is more famous than Terminator Salvation at this point.
It really is.
And
I like Terminator Salvation. So
yeah, you're the one guy, and I honestly haven't seen it, so for all I know, the moment I do see it, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But Shane Herbolt's cinematography is going to blow you away. Boom!
Well, it's action movie cinematography, and unless it's something that...
Oh, it's the saturatedness that really makes me like that style.
Yeah, but that's not anything really new. Action movie cinematography, it's the same way, like, say, look at Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch objectively looks pretty good.
It's because Larry Fong's awesome.
Yeah, well, it looks pretty good, but it's very, very generic good. Like, there's not really a lot creative about the way they do it. It's just going through motion. Same with Terminator Salvation.
Or at least from what you saw in the trailers.
I've seen clips.
Oh.
Yeah, and, like... Dude, that movie would come on Cinemax all the time, and I would watch, like, 5 minutes. It's like how, you know how USA always airs the Indiana Jones movies in between their Law & Order reruns?
They do that?
Yeah.
They should be stopped.
You mean they should be stopped from showing Raiders of the Lost Ark uncut?
What do you mean uncut? There's still commercials.
There's commercials, but they're not cutting the violence or anything.
Oh, well, that's better than... No, no, no. What edition was it in the South Park episode? The Ewok edition?
Yeah, the Ewok edition. But either I don't think it's a problem if a network that markets towards a somewhat family audience wants to show that family audience Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, yes. They show that, Last Crusade, they show all the time. Like,
they show Temple of Doom?
They show all four of them. But my personal thing with it is that every single time I go and I see that it's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, without fail, it's always the motorcycle chase at the beginning. Like,
the really good scene?
Yeah, I tried watching it and not seeing that scene, and it's always that scene. I'm beginning to think that they just play that on a loop, then it goes commercial, and then it goes back to the motorcycle chase, and that's all.
To be fair, like, even though I like that film, that is, like, the best scene in that film.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that the movie's good just based on that, because I've made it a point to not see anything else because people just tell me, hey, you're not missing much.
Well, you know what? I told Cass, or my friend Cass, that he was really interested in watching Prometheus because his Emerson film major friends said that it's not a good film. And I was like, you know, dude, just make your own call. Don't let other people watch it. And he actually really likes it. But then again, we're also two dumb fucks that like Transcendence.
And when it comes to Prometheus, I will always say it's worth the price I paid to see it. It should be noted I snuck into that movie.
Always. That should be like a quote with your face on a t-shirt and sunglasses. It'd be so fucking funny.
But honestly, I don't even dislike that movie altogether. It's like, is it good?
No.
Not really. But it's watchable.
Yeah.
Like, I can watch it. I mean, I can have fun. I'll acknowledge that there's really stupid things in it. But it's enough that, but there's enough going on, and it looks good enough without being generic. It's not the really generic type of cinematography. It's the good type of cinematography.
And I'm going to say something for the record. I liked this film when it was called Alien Engineers. Because I just read the script to that, and I'm like, dude, that would have been way better.
Who wrote it?
John Spates. Yeah. That's why I don't really give him shit about Doctor Strange, because, like, you wrote the draft that should have been what that movie was.
When was this?
It's in my phone.
Because was it going to be in the 90s, or was it going to be...
I think it was going to be in, like, the 90s or something, honestly. Like,
or that makes sense to me, back when...
It was a 2011 script draft written... Draft for a prequel to Alien, written by John Spates.
I know. To a degree, I like that they tried to not just make a prequel to Alien, but on the other hand, I think they tried too much to make a prequel to Alien.
Yeah.
Or to
even... Like, the honesty of making it a prequel to Alien is way better than making it, you know, based in the Alien universe, but it's really kind of a prequel. Like the fucking Alien Isolation game. Like, I have yet to play it, but I really want to because... That looks like it's really fucking exciting and just as good as the first Alien film, which is still my favorite film in that series. Why? Because it's not all machismo-driven like fucking Aliens.
I love Aliens, but...
I do too, but
well, the only thing
like,
I don't like is that...
This is almost Top Gun levels of gay.
Well, dude, the,
like,
the dialogue
Vasquez is the only reason that film isn't gay.
Well, the dialogue in that movie is awful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's...
Cameron is worst.
Well... The thing is, that's also Cameron's best screenplay.
Oh, God, that's true.
Because Cameron, I'll always say this, Cameron gets story structure. He is really, 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 really bad at dialogue. Like, say, look at Titanic. I like that movie. If the dialogue wasn't so...
Paint me like one of your French girls, Jack.
Well, that's one of the... thing is, that's one of the better lines.
I know.
Because when you look
at... That's what's sad.
Yeah, it has a lot of... Like, in terms of taking out the dialogue, if this was a silent movie... It has some cool setups, has some cool payoffs. I like saying things like, oh, Jack teaches Rose how to spit. 2 hours later in the movie, so by the time that the audience will have forgotten about it, then she uses that to get away from Cal by spitting in his face. That's a really clever thing. I love that.
Yeah,
it's just that I wish the dialogue wasn't so blah.
It's because he wasn't really a screenwriter. He just knew what moments in films worked.
Yeah, and that's why his best stuff is always when he's writing with someone else. Like, Aliens, I believe, had another person working on it, didn't it?
Galen Hurt's the producer, though.
Yeah, well, he at least... And also, at that time, he was writing Aliens. He was also writing another draft of Terminator. I mean,
Terminator 2.
No, I thought it was a... Cause
Terminator was in 1984.
Yeah, but I thought he got a permission... No, you're right. Yeah, so he was doing another draft of Terminator... And he was also doing a draft of the second Rambo movie.
Oh, right.
So he was...
It's the only reason why that movie's, like, halfway watchable.
Yeah, so there's three... So he was working on three scripts at once. And Terminator 2... Again...
No. You should go on your Terminator thing. Just for the fans.
No, you're right.
Because that is like the greatest dissertation I've ever seen in my life.
Hold on, let me just take another sip of this, and while I'm sipping it, explain what we're drinking.
To Terminators. Oh yeah, we have Brooklyn Lagers. Straight up. Not really fancy this time, because I kind of want to just like chill on lagers. But yeah, they're tasty as fuck. Yeah, and I love Brooklyn.
So lagers are one of the only beers I really like, so more power to them. Now, the thing I've realized recently is that the Terminator franchise is a microcosm of all the movies that come out in the era they come out. Terminator 1 is such an 80s action movie. It's really well done, but if you think about it, it has corny cyborg effects, really corny synth pop music.
Okay, synth pop, I'll give you.
Yep.
Synth-pop I will totally give you.
No, the cyborg effects, like, say when you have the animatronic Schwarzenegger, I think it looks cool, but there's not a moment where you don't go, that's just an animatronic with really creepy skin.
Like, I love that about it, but keep going.
Yeah, but it seems like something that could only happen in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the way people talk, the way people act, oh my god, the hairstyles. Like, even beyond, oh, this was filmed in the 80s, it screams 1980s. Flash forward, Terminator 2 is trying to do the 80s, but it's more extreme.
Which is what the 90s was.
Extreme. And this came out in the 90s, and it is such an extreme.
Extreme.
Like not even extreme, like X hyphen stream.
Yeah.
Or dream.
Yeah, dream.
Treme.
Like, extreme.
Extreme. In fact, the DVD, which came out 10 years after the movie, so by the time that the whole extreme phase has died down, what's the DVD to Terminator 2 called? Extreme Edition.
No, and it's also in metal binding.
Yes, and it's in metal binding. And
I have a copy of that.
Yeah, same here. And it has and the entire movie trying to look like stainless steel looks so hardcore because
it's so polished.
Yeah, it's trying because that was the 90s. But it also is doing something where it's trying to add more heart to it, because we're now in a post Die Hard world where your action movie has to have a heart at its core. And even though it's kind of a little ham-fisted with Terminator, I know now why you cry, whereas I myself cannot. Which even then, I can accept that. The kicker for me is when he does the thumbs up.
Oh, God. I can't stand that. I really can't. Like, I'm just like, dude, this ruins that whole I know now why you cry, but it is something I can never do.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Arnold. I'm pointing to you, Arnold poster.
For the people at home who can't see this,
I just said what I pointed to. Come on now. I'm not that dumb. Sure, or that drunk.
Sure, you're not.
Okay.
But,
yeah, so then, Terminator 3.
Then you flash forward 3 years, and suddenly there's a lot more, John Woo type. There's a lot more Asian action sequence, and there's a lot more of trying to make, you can't make the, like, cool action star the bad guy. He has to be a good guy. The movie doesn't need to make a lot of sense. It can be a lot sillier, because, oh my god, Terminator 3 can be silly.
Oh my, dude, it is the worst. It is, like, my least favorite film, because it is so silly.
I know, I actually really love that deleted...
Wait, which one? With
Arnold Schwarzenegger with the southern accent, and it's just
like, oh, I can't stand that, dude.
Hey, he looks like me. Don't like the voice. We can replace it.
I fucking adore that.
It's stupid,
it's
but
so
I adore
dumb.
It. And then
a total waste of Claire Danes.
Yeah, and then Terminator 4 is the action movie at the end of that decade, where it's just kind of a cash grab. It's trying to be really gritty because The Dark Knight had come out. It's in a post 9/11 world, so they need to be all really depressing. And it's
God, that just is a really well captured mood. But then again, Shane Herbold.
Yeah, it kind of throws.
I feel like a lot of that movie is also just like, McGee really didn't do much. It's just all the people he got to help him made that film what it is. And he's just kind of like there telling actors what to do and how to look.
Yeah, I can see that. McGee is hardly in the position where he can get total creative control in movies. I think that he has to surrender creative control in order to be credited as McGee.
Yep. That explains it. And then the new one.
And I'm sure his agent's just like, no, man, come on, creative control, you can handle this. But either way, going on to the new one, Terminator Genisys, which...
That is the dumbest title.
Look, Terminator Genisys is trying to be... Oh my god, so Russian.
Terminator Genisys.
Terminator
Genisys. It's like Slav squatting. Have you seen that, by the way?
No.
It's the fucking silliest. It's basically like Russians and Eastern Europeans, like in Adidas tracksuits, just like squatting in front of things. It's like the new planking, only I actually like it.
Hey, I like planking. Planking's cool.
Planking was stupid.
Planking's a great way to exercise, actually.
Planking is also a way to... No, but, you know, like the mean planking.
Yeah, the mean
planking. Where they, like, would put themselves in between two things and have nothing to balance them in the middle and then fall to their thorny deaths. Oh, wait, no, that's just what I wished upon them. But yeah, Terminator Genesis.
Because I'm going to change all the vowels to Y in those movies. So,
yes. Terminator Genesis.
But thing is, that movie's trying to just recapture the first couple. It's like, here's why you like this. Hey, remember this? Remember that? Here it is. But we're doing it different. And don't forget, we're going to overcomplicate the ever-loving shit out of it. Because Lord knows you're not paying to see a simple story. Because
fuck you, that's why.
Like, I'm not typically a person who gets angry at movie trailers, because I'm like, even with, say, the Fantastic Four, I'm like, okay, that could turn out bad, it also could turn out decent, I have issues, but I also think that is doing stuff right. But Terminator Genesis, I just go, fuck that! Fuck everything about this! No, screw you, movie!
Yeah.
If I got hired by people from Terminator Genesis, I would not be saying this.
Fun fact, I have a friend who I've worked with when he was an actor and I was a grip. He's in that movie in a very small bit part.
Well, yeah.
That would be literally the only reason I even morbidly curiously watched this.
Please tell me you're not going to go to the theater like you did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because he did that with Phantom Menace 3D. I mean, it's like,
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
I remember you bragging like, man, I'm going to see it because it's going to be so bad.
Oh, I never did.
It was that night. You were telling me that you were on your way to see it.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Casey, how long have you known me now?
3 years.
Do you know that, like, not everything that comes out of my mouth will always happen? In fact, most of it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
So I can say I fucked a bear, and you would have believed me.
No, I just remember.
I literally fucked a wild brown bear.
I literally just remembered when you said that you were going to buff up for Thor.
That, yeah.
And then you said you were going to buff up for Thor 2. And in fact, any movie that Chris Hemsworth is in.
Yeah. It's just to show him up, dude.
And you know,
it's a war among the Chrises. Haven't you seen Chris Evans and Chris Pratt? They're at it. They're at it, man, I swear. Chris is safe.
That's the only thing I remember from that entire Super Bowl thing is that Nationwide ad.
Oh, did you not see the Jamie Casino ad?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh my god!
All I've seen is that one screenshot where he looks like he's trying out for a Led Zeppelin. And I'm just like,
oh. It's about him getting bullied as a child.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Cause that's like, I have a special place in my heart for Jamie Casino for exactly
that. I did it the year before, and now I'm just like, okay, I understand why this is so funny.
Well, I was the first person to comment on his YouTube.
Oh, did he respond back to you?
No, I was the most liked comment for about a week, though. Because all it was is...
That's an achievement.
Yeah, that's an achievement in my life. I can now say I found...
Do you know how sad that sounds?
Dude, I was one of the first 500 views. I'm kind of proud to see something before it explodes into a meme. Like... What the fuck say?
I do that, like, almost all the time.
Name one meme that you got on the ground floor of.
Hold on. Oh, wait, exactly. That's a lot of ideas memes.
Oh, so something that only you know about, and then you have to explain to
10,000 people know about it.
10,000? Chris, I was one of the first 50,000 people to watch What the Fuck Fox Say. That video is on 350 million right now. So...
That is... an irrelevant and terrible video.
Okay. No, that's an amazing video because it's a parody of all that shit that other music videos do.
Wait, what music videos do?
Like super synthy auto-tuned pop. Like what? Like What the Fox Say is a parody of stuff like Gundam Style.
Wait, I thought that was serious.
No,
I really thought that was serious. No, for like 2 years Yelvis, of my life. Ah!
No, Yelvis is a. Is a late night comedy show in Norway. They have another song called "What's the Meaning of Stonehenge?"
Exactly.
What do you mean exactly? I'm proving why you were dumb and thought something.
That is why I am dumb, because I thought they were a group.
No, they are. They make songs, and those songs tend to chart, but they're parody songs. Not parodying the same way, like Weird Al, like, oh, I'm redoing the lyrics, but, like, I'm parodying the style of music.
See, that literally went, for the record, right over my head. And I'm usually the guy to say, nothing goes over my head, my reflexes are too fast, and I can't immediately catch it before it hits the ground. Looking at you, Drax poster.
This is episode just going to be Chris pointing to the posters.
Yep. Look at you, like, Daredevil.
Like, that's
look at you, Daredevil.
That's the...
There's two Daredevil posters, like, within these rooms. Look at you, Darth Vader, with your Darth Vader face.
You know I've been drinking because I'm laughing and not just...
just, like, putting your head in your hands like Picard.
I was literally about to say those exact things word for word.
We're on it today. We're on it today. We are really on a roll.
We need to get drunk more often.
Duh. We really connect brainwaves.
Would you mind if I actually named this episode Still Crazy After All These Beers?
Go for it.
Because, hey, Paul Simon reference. # Casey
Neistat. I mean, and it's literally been years that we've been doing this, so yes. Keith, please do.
Yeah,
please
do. I mean, the other one that we tried to record, and then I just haven't been able to put up due to technical difficulties. Yeah, I wanted to call that one Still Lazy After All These Years.
So. Oh, then let's put that one up next week.
Let's see if we can.
But
Terminator.
Other than Terminator, what are you excited for this year? I feel like we haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, we haven't, actually. I obviously, there's things like I'm excited for Star Wars.
A dog.
Yeah, because...
Adventures. A dog.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about Star Wars, because you're a Star Wars fan, and...
Yeah, it is true. And you have two lightsabers in that corner. I have my action figures. I got my sweatpants on, and I don't know.
You have a tattoo of Jar Jar over your left nipple.
No, it's over. It's under my tan.
But it's a.
No, that'd be more. Okay. Speaking of memes, I'm literally right now on the ground floor for esoteric Star Wars memes. Have you heard of this?
I have not, but
it is the greatest page. It is literally every character that is in the fucking background made into horrifying memes, like. Do you want to see Ki-Adi Mundi as a deformed penis? Oh, wait.
His head is a deformed penis.
Exactly. So just put him over penises, and that's a meme.
I love that.
It's literally over the Death Grips album cover, No Love Deep Web, that's just a dick. It's just Ki-Adi Mundi's head. With No Love Deep Web. Right? I'm telling you, dude. Ground floor meme. Ground floor meme.
God, there's a Kit Fisto joke here somewhere.
Oh, there probably is a Kit Fisto meme somewhere.
Jesus Christ.
To fit that joke. But yeah, Star Wars... I have one real gripe that I don't think anyone else is really bringing up about the new films. Is that, why do we gotta have stormtroopers again?
I don't think they're stormtroopers. I think that it's people, like, when the...
Like Imperial Remnant?
Yeah, I think it's Imperial Remnant. I think that when you get down to it, especially since you can see on, what's his face?
On Finn's face?
Yeah, on Finn's face.
I just want to make memes of Finn with Jake in the background, in the sand.
Well, when you see... But when you look
at... call it Adventure Time.
But when you look at his Stormtrooper outfit, there's a few, like, parts missing from it. There's that weird iPod thing on the back that's not on the standard Stormtrooper outfit. So what I'm thinking is that... And this is just a personal theory. And also the fact that when you look at the Stormtroopers...
Put it to the record.
Yeah, when you look at the Stormtroopers in that one or two shots that we see them in the trailer, they don't look like they're the same height. And it might just be that I'm looking at real people in suits, which I'm not used to with Star Wars.
Ah!
But it doesn't look like a legion of clones. It looks like people have grabbed spare helmets and stuff, and this is just... Oh, we have spare armor. Yeah, you don't need to... Why not let it go? We don't need to let it go to waste.
It looks a little too perfect right now. Or it looks a little too perfectly, like, set up to be, oh, we're going to bring back the Empire again. I'm just like, can we not?
Yeah, and I'm convinced that they're not bringing back the Empire, but they're doing something that I have wanted to do since I had my own ideas for what to do with Star Wars. I think they're going into the Sith. Like, it's just like...
Hail Satan!
Like, going into...
Go to Korriban!
Yeah.
Unlock the secrets of Darth Bane!
Quit interrupting me!
This is my Star Wars nerd coming out, nerd.
But it looks like they're going to actually explore the dark side of the Force, and that, and I am actually really, 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 really on board with that.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with
that. Because it's
like that Crossguard lightsaber, I'm like totally on board with.
Yeah, well, we talked about this on the last episode, but it's just like, okay, does it make any sense?
No. Do lightsabers make sense?
No.
Not really.
Does anything in Star Wars that looks cool or we remember finally make any sense?
No.
No.
Does a Crossguard lightsaber make it the dick of all lightsabers? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because if you get close enough, you could literally sever the other guy's lightsaber off.
But you could also accidentally sever off your own fingers.
No, 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 not the other way. You just do the one. The one that goes towards him. And
yeah, but
if it goes
towards him, it's also going... It's also right where you are, too.
It's just...
Yeah, if you hold it...
Done.
Like, it's... Like, just one mistake, and you're out all the fingers on your hand, and
plus, I feel like... You know how it's like that thing, like, flamed out a lot? I feel like it's a really sloppy lightsaber, just build-wise. So it's probably gonna come in like that.
I don't think that's supposed to be that, though. I think it's supposed to be like, hey, here's something that looks cool... And people are getting on its case for
No. Like, the fact that, like, it's not really, like, a perfect blade. They flame out and shit.
No,
and
I know what you're...
Awesome.
I know what you're talking about. And I don't think that's what they're going for. I think they're going for, this looks cool, and it's a variation on the lightsaber. Which we have not had a lot of those. The closest we had to a variation on the lightsaber...
Was Count Dooku's curved
lightsaber? Yeah, since Count Dooku's slightly curved lightsaber.
His fencing saber.
Yeah, well, no, even that thing, that makes no sense either, but it looks kind of cool, so therefore I'm willing to let it slide.
And it has a little hook thingy on it.
Yeah.
Which means you could literally... Especially if they have those Cartorsis shields, Star Wars nerd, and then just stab him in the throat.
So yeah, it's... Like, it doesn't make sense, nor does almost anything else in Star Wars. I don't get on Star Wars' case for not making sense.
It's space fantasy.
I get on its case for not having compelling characters or good dialogue or stories.
The things that Plinkett complains about.
The things that that's what I love about Plinkett's stuff is that it's complaining about stuff that people tend to forget to bring up.
Yeah.
My big thing with the Star Wars with the Star Wars prequels is that people always go, oh man, look at Jar Jar, it's awful. It's like, oh yeah, Jar Jar's terrible.
But what else is wrong?
There's
a lot more wrong.
Well,
Jar Jar.
Yeah, you take Jar Jar out of that movie, it's still one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
And so, I actually just always love the fact that Jar Jar's brought up once in that entire franchise of reviews, just as, you know, like, in criticism, just as... And here's something they did good. Jar Jar's in the third one less. That's the only time they ever actually talk about the quality of adding Jar Jar to a movie. They talk about the lack of protagonist. They talk about the weird editing. They talk about the...
Bland choice of framing.
Yeah, bland... Oh my god, so bland.
Right?
Like, have you ever...
Like, it bothers me now.
Like, films...
And it never bothered me before. And it's not even a film school thing. It's just like, when I watch those reviews, I was like, oh, wait...
Which, to be fair, the rips from the DVDs that they use are not very good, but I'm not going to complain about that because...
But the rips from the behind-the-scenes material are A+, as far as content goes.
No, I mean...
They picked the best shit to pick out of that.
No, I mean, thing. I mean, like, the actual, like, quality of the footage.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
It's YouTube.
Well, it's not even just that's on YouTube, just they grabbed it from DVDs that were probably pretty damn old, and they didn't look very good. Which, that said, only shows off how crappy, say, the lighting is. And I know this is weird to get on, but it's just for us, Kamino, it's all overhead lighting. And I just go, like, what the fuck, guys? I'm not good at lighting, but I can tell you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Bad movie. No.
The only time lighting is really good is, like, on Geonosis.
Yeah.
If that.
No, I can see that, but just...
Because it could also literally just be a color correction. Yeah.
Well, that was back when they were doing color timing, I think, though, so it wasn't color correcting. But either way, beyond that, you asked me what I'm excited for this year? Probably that and Avengers 2, actually.
That's it?
I know that there's other movies that I look at and go, oh...
Jurassic World?
I'm not excited for Jurassic World.
Why?
I don't think it looks terribly good. Like, I heard...
I'm shocked.
I heard the plot of that movie, and I was on board, just like everyone else, because that plot is the most insane thing ever.
Oh, about...
Then I saw the trailer, and I saw, like, oh, this is gonna take itself seriously. And so it's like, okay, this will live and die on its effects. I was looking at the effects in the trailer. They look really crappy.
Did you see the newer trailers?
I saw the new... I saw the Super Bowl stuff.
Well, and no, it's still, like, a work in progress from what I can tell.
Well, the thing is, every time I chalk something out to a work in progress, it ends up not being a work in progress. Like, Godzilla. Those were the final effects, and I was telling people, no, man, I'm telling you, that's just a work in progress.
Yeah.
And so... Right. So, no, I'm just like, okay. This is so silly that I'm not going to be able to take the plot seriously, which is, okay, if you give me some good action scenes, and the special effects... already do not exactly look like they're very good, which is coming from Jurassic Park, a film
that has literally been built on that shit.
A series that thrives on the idea of we are the state of the art special effects. Which, I mean, granted, they also have good stuff beyond that. Like, say, remember what I was talking about with
practicals. Yeah, St. Winston shit. That's tight as fuck.
Well, it's not even the practicals. Remember, and I'm about to say something to the audience, what I was saying about Boyhood, about how you can sum up... Every time you see a summary of that movie, it's going to talk about the technical thing they did behind it. You can summarize Jurassic Park without saying, hey, here... And they use CG effects in a new way that had never been used before. They had over 50, like, computer digital shots.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to put that in the plot summary. You do need to put that in Boyhood. But Jurassic Park 1, good story. Science is bullshit, but hey, most movies with science have science being bullshit. And
because science is chaos, and chaos is death.
That's the other thing. I think Neil refers to this as the Ghostbusters effect. I call it the Jurassic Park effect.
Yeah, where it's the Jurassic Park effect.
Yeah, where it's you introduce something that people know about in terms of science. Then you completely go off the rails with the science. But because you've already gotten your foot in the door with the stuff people know about, people are willing to accept your bullshit.
Except for the frogs thing.
People accept the frogs thing.
Oh, wait, yeah, no, it's like the frog... If you know about the frogs thing beforehand, then it might ruin the shit, but...
The only time I've ever heard that is on Leog.
From Leon.
Yeah, exactly. No one else has mentioned that. And I'm not saying that's not a valid criticism. It is, but the...
I don't think it's a criticism, but just like, oh, he spoiled it for himself because he's too damn smart.
No, he's saying, like, why didn't scientists pick up on that? Which is a valid criticism.
Oh,
but the
right,
thing is,
yeah.
In order to do that, in order to have that make sense for people to say you're not pulling something out of your ass, it does that, what the Jurassic Park effect, where it takes something that makes sense in science that people know about, and then they go, oh, shit, that makes sense to me. Even though the science makes no sense at all.
Yeah,
so
honestly, the one thing that really bothers me that no one's bringing up about the new Jurassic World film is literally what Chris Pratt says in that trailer. So you just take one of the most dangerous dinosaurs on Earth and make it more dangerous.
Yeah, no, that movie's gonna make no sense, and everybody who's excited about it knows full well, yeah, that movie's gonna make no sense.
As long as it has a heart like the first one, I'll be fine with it.
And I don't think it necessarily will. Because it looks like it's... Chris, have you read the plot summary?
No.
The plot summary is, and they see it show a little bit in the trailer, that Jurassic World has been open for a number of years, and people are getting bored of dinosaurs. Which, A, already...
is a lie.
Yeah, already stretching
like
the idea.
Cake.
The idea that kids could get bored of dinosaurs...
is a farce.
Yes, that is makes no sense at all. Then you have... And then they decide to create this new dinosaur in order to try to bring back more tourism, but then it breaks loose and causes havoc. And the only way I can see this idea actually working is if somebody's saying, hey, let's be meta about it, because the first Jurassic Park made people excited about dinosaurs. Now they've kind of gone by the wayside that we have more special effects. They're not as impressive that we can do dinosaurs anymore. So we're going to do something that one-ups it, but makes no sense at all. So this could be an entire satire of... this style of movie making, but I don't
think... I mean,
Colin
Trevorrow is pretty damn good at what he does.
But
that's what I will only give credit on.
But I'm not excited for it. It looks... the effects...
Yeah,
don't...
thanks for killing my anticipation, you dick. With your facts and your...
You mean
and
the
your logic
that...
and reason?
I'm sorry I thought something through, Chris.
With your fucking face. okay, now that that's ruined, what else is there? Ant-Man?
I don't read enough Ant-Man that I'm just like, okay, it's a Marvel movie. I'm experiencing a little bit fatigue with Marvel stuff, but I'm still sure that it's going to be fine. No, you don't need to grab an Ant-Man comic for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm not going to have time to read it.
All right. Well, yeah. What else?
Well, what are you excited about?
What am I excited for? What the fuck else is in the year? I can tell you what I'm currently not excited for right now.
Are you going to say 50 Shades of Grey?
No, it's this film I literally just saw a trailer for right now that I hope gets buried. It's called What Now? It's like an independent romantic comedy. It's kind of just like a vanity project of a like an independent record label. And it's just, it really bothers me that like he's attempting to, you know, go into filmmaking when he really shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like,
Honestly, I'm okay with the idea of somebody who wants to try movie making. Is it his first movie?
Yeah.
If he's good, then...
Ever. Like, no shorts, like, no nothing. Like, he took his money from his record label, funded a film, shot what is basically, like, a romantic comedy about Tinder. And I'm just like, this is visually bland, and you can tell that like no one's really emoting properly, and right. None of this is good.
If it turns out bad, then okay, fuck that. But if it turns out all right, then more power to that.
I just think it's a problem when people like that can come in with their money and like just, you know, ruin all us hard workers.
I don't think it's somebody who wants to tell a story and they happen to have the funds to do it. It's not like they're saying, hey, all of you fucks, give me money. Because if anything...
Well, that's kind of what he's doing, because he's forcing his bands on his label to post a trailer for it, which I'm pretty sure is going to be the way his hype machine will work.
That's cross-promoting. That's different. Chris, what I'm saying is, when you're going out there and trying to get money for a feature, you're going to have to go to a lot of people who do have the money, who might want to be producers or are willing to put up the funds. This guy's not doing that. He's using his own stuff, or stuff from his label, stuff that's money he already has. So he's not taking money from other people who are trying to get movies made. He's doing it himself, which you can be annoyed that he has enough money to do that, but you should also be grateful that he's not, like, someone else isn't funding him, so therefore they can't fund you.
Yeah, good call. But it still just kind of bothers me. It's like, you've already accomplished so much. Why do you need to, like, stick your dick in where it doesn't belong?
That's like saying, why would the Beatles go out and make movies? They're still awesome movies.
No, that doesn't apply to the Beatles.
Why not? They went out and shot and directed their own movies.
Yeah, because they're actually pretty good, but I'm just like...
Well, you haven't seen the movie.
No, the music industry is not really in a place right now where you should be taking risks like that. And to take risks like that, especially with that old Hollywood rule of don't put money in your own money in your own picture, is kind of not a good idea.
And yet, what if it pays off for him, though?
Then I will hate myself.
Exactly.
I already hate myself. All right.
You know what I am excited for?
What?
Two Pixar movies.
Oh, yeah. Those are coming out.
The Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur. We know nothing about The Good Dinosaur. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Pretty excited. I think it's going to be like 22 Jump Street, and it'll be a little more meta. It'll be a little more, like, nerdier.
Well,
not really as mainstream as the first one, but I still think a
pretty Jump Street is pretty mainstream. Like, I love it.
It's still highly meta.
Oh, it's highly meta. It's more meta than the first one, but also has more mainstream jokes to balance it out.
I don't know, man. Like, I talked to a bunch of people that don't like it, and it's just because they don't like meta, and I'm just like, well, then you're an unintelligent person, but then, like, they are intelligent, so I'm just like, how do you not like this? This is what we've been missing from, like, good comedy films. It's just smarter.
Actually, as someone who loves 22 Jump Street, and I think it's crazy that people don't like it. What?
No, keep going.
Meta,
I just figured out a film I want to talk about next.
All right. Meta stuff I can understand why people would get annoyed with meta stuff, because it's trying to show, like, oh, look how smart we are that we're not going to take ourselves seriously. Wink! Now, I think 22 Jump Street did it really, really well.
Like Community.
Yeah.
On its good days.
Yeah, Or Community is bad. I think Community is really good at being meta, and I think that 22 Jump Street is really good at being meta. So I'm okay with that. But bad meta is going to be stuff like saying, "Oh, here we're going to make fun of ourselves, so we don't actually need to work on making it good."
Like Adam Sandler.
Well, no, Adam Sandler's not meta.
But he does make fun of the other idiots in his crew, being like, aren't these guys idiots?
Well, he also...
Look at Kevin James, that fat fuck.
Yeah, that's Kevin James's joke in the movie. Chris, that's not meta.
I hate that that's a joke, period. So yeah, let's move on before we talk about what we don't want to see this year. Chappie. Very excited about Chappie.
Wish it wasn't an action movie, but I am
enthusiastic. I love that it's an action movie. You know why? Because
you like action movies and you're not that
smart. Because it's about profiling. The action comes from profiling.
Alright.
As long as it comes from somewhere with Neil Blomkamp, I'm usually on board. I could honestly, like, if this is like the theme for the next couple of movies of just like, not senseless action, but like, did you really need to solve that with violence action? Then yeah, I might like fall off the wagon, but like the fact that
Elysium. Like, Elysium was trying to be a social commentary movie while also being an action movie, and in order to make it an action movie, it needs to dumb down social commentary. So, therefore, neither of those really work very well at all. That's why I'm not on board with Elysium. Yeah, because I'm not...
Okay.
My issue with Elysium isn't what it's saying. I agree with most of it. My issue is the way it's going about saying it.
With senseless violence.
Yeah, well, in order to make room for the senseless violence, it needs to dumb down the social commentary. In order to make room for the social commentary, it needs to totally change the way it's going about the senseless violence.
That's fair, I guess.
So therefore, I don't think it achieves either, especially when you get the end and Charlton Copley is just like, hey, fuck it, I'm taking over everything, guys! I'm just like, by the time...
Like in District 9!
I totally hate the last 20 minutes of Elysium, just because, like, okay, I already know how this is going to end, and then now you're just adding more twists that make no sense. So now, completely fuck this ending.
I just think Chappie's gonna be... I feel like he spent more time on Chappie, to be honest with you.
Well,
I saw a bunch of shit for Chappie before I even saw Elysium.
Well, Elysium came out 4 years after District 9. We're not even 2 years after Elysium, so therefore...
But the other thing is that there's a short film with Linda Carter where a robot that looks like Chappie goes on a date with Linda Carter. So this has been one of, like, it was like District 9. It's one of his short ideas that he's taking into a feature. Elysium, I kind of understand now why people don't like it as much, is because it's, like, really one of his more, like, this is just a feature idea. This is something that can only work as a feature. And I think he needs that, like, kind of time to build things in order to make things better when they're bigger. You know what I mean?
And I could see that. Like I said, I want to see him step out of his wheelhouse a little and have a little less senseless action and... Like, watching the Chappie trailer, I was really on board. It's like, oh, you're not doing senseless action. And then it became that. It's like...
Racial profiling.
Profiling. No, I'm on board with that. I am completely on board with that. I just wish that it wasn't going to be a senseless action movie.
All right. Well, now let's move to May. Mad Max Fury Road.
Haven't seen the original Mad Max.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude, I...
2 days ago, I saw an oil tanker. You want to talk to him? You go to me.
And indeed, I do not get that reference because I haven't seen the original.
Or the Road Warrior.
Or the Road Warrior. I haven't seen any Mad Max movies.
Damn it.
So.
No, the third one's okay. It's just not really that great. But yeah, Mad Max, super fun. George Miller's back directing, like, the shit that he should have been directing this whole time. Instead of fucking around with Happy Feet.
The guy who did Mad Max did Happy Feet?
And he wasted like four, I think like 3 years of his life trying to get that Justice League movie off the ground in Australia. So yeah, he's an eccentric fuck.
Oh my god, the guy's a man.
So moving on to Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, I haven't seen the trailer, but I'm on board with it because I like Brad Bird.
Yeah, and I think it looks visually interesting. I think it's something that we might have done before Pirates of the Caribbean. Taking, like, a theme park concept and making it into a narrative.
Yeah, well, that's not entirely...
Tomorrowland is cool-looking as fuck.
Yeah, and also...
And I would not be surprised if the film does well, that Tomorrowland gets a complete overhaul to look like that film.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Tomorrowland is also a better ride than Pirates of the Caribbean.
Tomorrowland is a whole section.
Oh, yeah. Full disclosure, I've never been to Disney World.
Dude, I have a timeshare. We could fucking literally do the spring break.
Why do you own a timeshare?
My parents own the timeshare. It's a generational thing.
All right, and also I can't because I'm in a wedding.
Oh, right. Yeah. And but sometime soon-ish. Summer. I don't know. Fuck it. Jurassic World, Inside Out, The Transporter Legacy. What? Oh. That's what that Game of Thrones actor left. You know the guy who was playing Dario Naharis?
Which one was
hair?
Which one was Dario?
He had blonder hair in the third season, and then he has like brown, shorter hair in the fourth.
What did he do?
And a beard.
What did he do?
Daenerys' mercenary that she sleeps with.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he looked completely different in the season that they introduced him in, and that's because he left to go work on the next Transporter film. Which I'm just like, okay, bud, but like, let's see what happens. Ted 2, no, fuck that. Magic Mike, Triple X, Double XL. I mean, like,
I want to see it just because it was shot in
Spongebob. Yeah, we just want to really, like, with SpongeBob, just be like, that's a band.
Well, actually, no. SpongeBob, I actually watch the trailer and I giggle. So I'm just like,
I cringe. Yeah. I cringe pretty hard at the SpongeBob trailer.
I think that there's genuinely actually funny stuff in it, which is something I've been missing from SpongeBob for the past 11 years.
I haven't seen anything funny out of SpongeBob since the first movie.
Which was 11 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, actually, to be fair, they did have some funny stuff a little after that. Like, it's like with how Family Guy, when it came back on the air, it didn't just immediately jump to shark. It had a few funny episodes in the transition to when it jumped to shark.
Oh, yeah. Pan. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen the trailers for it. I know.
I'm, like, curious.
Wait, no, I did, and I'm not really on.
Yeah, I'm just, like, really curious more than anything.
I mean, I'm not completely writing it off, but I'm also by no means ever going to see it in the theater.
The Poltergeist trailer came out a couple days ago.
God, I haven't seen it, and I'm afraid.
I haven't
afraid.
Either, and I'm afraid.
Also, have you ever noticed that, what's the name of the guy from,
Sam Rockwell?
No. The guy from the original Poltergeist.
Oh, Craig T. Nelson?
Have you noticed he kind of looks exactly like Michael Nolan?
Yeah. You know, he's also Bob Parr, a.k.a. Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, well, I know who he is. I just couldn't remember the name of the actor.
Yeah. Fantastic Four. I think that is going to be its own death nail, but it actually looks better than I thought it would, so that's plus for it.
It's probably going to be the best of the Fantastic Four movies.
Which is not hard.
Oh, it's not hard at all. It could be a mid-level movie.
I just think it's horribly weird that Miles Teller is playing an elder statesman as a very younger statesman.
Well, that's my only thing with the movie. The only thing that makes me annoyed is that they're getting a bunch of young people to be, oh, you're the best mind of this generation to go to space. And it's just like, oh, guys, they're 22.
They don't know anything about nothing.
Yeah, it's... and
just like me.
And I... We know, Chris.
I know.
But...
I just, like, yell a bit.
It annoys me. That part annoys me. Everything else, I can accept. That's the one part. Just like, God damn it.
Okay, apparently... Oh, it's not Jared Harris. Fuck's Jared Hess? Is that the Napoleon Dynamite dick?
I think it might be on a... I've also...
Yeah, it's the Napoleon Dynamite dick. He's finally doing a film since Gentleman Broncos, which was 6 years ago, and no one remembers because it was a complete piece of garbage called Masterminds.
I've never actually seen Napoleon Dynamite either, so...
Not missing much.
Dude. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Napoleon Dynamite made a big impact when it came out and then dried up immediately. It's like, say, look at Avatar. After Earth had a very small cultural footprint in the grand scheme of things.
Well, yeah, after 2010.
Yeah, after 2010, there was...
When it made $2 billion, yeah. Everyone was just like, I don't want to see this anymore.
Well, 2009 was... It was huge for Avatar. 2010 was pretty big, and then it kind of faded away. It resurged a little bit back, like, in, like, fall 2010, when people could make Avatar jokes on TV and whatnot. Like, TV had caught up to it. And then once those had happened... Like, the entire appeal... Like, then Avatar kind of faded away. That's why anytime I hear notes about Avatar 2 and 3 and 4 and 6 and 9, I just go, that's still happening?
Yeah. Sinister 2 is happening. Speaking of things happening.
Okay, well,
good for Cargill.
Already?
Yeah. It's only, like, 3 years, dude. Or 4.
Well, I thought they only announced it within the last, like, 6 months.
Oh, well, it's slotted for, August. Late August.
Hmm.
There's time.
You watch your... I'm just... I'm just picturing, like...
Yeah, where the fuck...
I'm picturing the people... Because it's not Cargill and that one guy.
Scott Derrickson? Yeah. Oh, no, it's Ciaran Foy. It's some nobody.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing I'm expecting is that with the new people who are making Sinister 2, they're just going to forget to make the movie until the week before it comes out. It's like, oh, crap! And it's due in a week!
It's due in a week!
No shit! What the fuck was I trying to find? The film with Oscar Isaac, Domhnall Gleeson, and the fucking robot.
The Force Awakens.
No, it's the other one. With the fucking robot.
I love that we live in a world where there's two movies coming out this year. Sorry, Oscar Isaac, Domhnall Gleeson, and a fucking robot.
Apparently also Star Wars is getting moved the fuck up.
What?
Yeah. That was a recent announcement that it might be like moving up in the slots. Because Mission Impossible 5 also moved up to a summer release. Also something I'm pretty excited for.
Yeah, but the thing is, they want to get the most bank they can out of Star Wars, and it's going to have a lot of competition in the summer, so I think that it's more likely going to stay right
where it is.
It's the same way...
Mission Impossible 5 was going to stay with Star Wars, but then they're like, wait, we're going to be competing with Star Wars, fuck that, and just moved it to the summer.
Yeah, so it's the same way, say, right now it's in a perfect release slot, because the last Hunger Games movie is going to come out 4 weeks before, and that's enough time for it to make its mark, make all the money it's going to make, and kind of fade away.
I think the Hunger Games is really going to fade away after this year, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think it will, just because it hasn't just been when the movies come out, it's a cultural milestone. Like, you get Always Sunny in Philadelphia saying something like, dude, it's like a Hunger Games scenario in there. So it's appealing to an audience. It's not just making a Twilight-type thing. It's genuinely doing... it's genuinely appealing to the people it's trying to appeal to.
Okay, I'm never excited for those films.
Yeah, but you're also not a fan of them. You also haven't read the books.
I read the books.
Oh, you did?
That's why I'm not a fan of them. It's just, I think that book series just, like, immediately turns lackluster. Like, right in the last one.
So, wait. Only the last one is lackluster?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the series is retroactively not worth reading because one out of the three...
No, I just think it's, like, okay, and then the last one really, like, drops the ball.
But
it's just really not my thing, dude. Like, you know how I'm not, like,
I know.
Young adult fantasy, because it's just, like, I could be reading Harry Potter or I could be reading fucking Elric.
All right.
I'd rather read Elric. Oh, yeah, I found the film. It's Ex Machina.
I'm gonna make my same joke I always make. I really wish Deus Ex and Ex Machina would have a crossover called Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. I'm just like, it just seems like a really awesome film. You got Alex Garland, the writer, 28 Days Later, and Sunshine, on his directorial debut.
I thought Danny Boyle wrote his own stuff.
No.
Well, fuck it.
He also wrote The Beach. Also, Alex Garland, writer of Dread and Never Let Me Go.
I'm on board with this.
Yeah, I'm very on board with this. Domhnall Gleeson, Oscar Isaac, amazing actors. Like, I'm really trying to fucking see A Most Violent Year before it leaves theaters.
I really love that.
Because that movie looks intense.
I love that we also have gotten to a point where Domhnall Gleeson is considered an amazing actor. Like, he's getting to A-list.
Yeah.
And you don't think...
And Rupert Grint is going nowhere.
Well, Rupert Grint doesn't want to go anywhere.
I figured that's why I didn't.
Yeah, like, do you know what he does in summers?
What?
He bought an ice cream truck and drives around England.
My man.
Yeah, well, thing
I
is...
I want to buy him, like a pound of weed and, like, smoke him out.
Thing is, he's not allowed to... Like, according to English government, he's not allowed to sell the ice cream. He needs a license for that. So, instead, he gives it away.
Charitable fucker.
Yeah, that's...
So let me charitably fucking give him a pound of weed and let's smoke out.
That is Rupert... But that's Rupert Grint. That is... So he's not actually trying to be, like... Like, Daniel Radcliffe, he's trying to escape Harry Potter and be a big major actor. He wants to be James Bond.
Rupert Grint just wants to be one of us regular jackoffs.
Yeah, well, he wants to be... He does still want to do movies, but he's more...
He does them sparingly. Like, he's in CBGB.
Yeah, and he was also in Frank, but he's...
Frank.
It's just a movie that keeps on popping up.
No, that's Domhnall Gleeson, dude.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I thought Rupert Grint was also in that. Either way, Rupert Grint, he does a movie when he wants to do a movie.
Yeah.
And those
really no other time. Other
yeah, and those tend to be smaller titles, like say Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson. They're trying to be big actors. Emma Watson is trying to be like a cultural statement.
Yeah,
and
which I don't know about that, but good luck.
Well, you're also usually not the person on board with that.
Well, no, it's just like, yeah, she's saying the right things, but it's like the wrong fucking people. People that are never really gonna accept that. And the people that support her are obviously gonna be like, yeah, you go, girl. I'm just like...
She needs to get more of the in-betweens, you know? Like, just the people who are like, I don't know about this feminism stuff, but, oh, those men's rights activists look weird with their neck beards. But, what else we got?
We got Spectre.
Yeah, Spectre.
Fuck yeah, Spectre.
Dave Bautista's in that. It really makes me laugh.
John Logan.
Also, the first Bond lady. That's a MILF. That is a plus in my book.
You haven't seen Goldfinger, have you?
Monica Bellucci, like, internationally renowned for being over 40 and totally bangable. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's 50.
There are several Bond girls who were over 40 when they came out.
But she's 50, and she still looks 30.
Well, you're saying, first Bond MILF, and you're like, that's not even remotely...
First one that acknowledges in my brain, because they all just look young to me, dude.
All right, so the first... That's... never tried to catalog things for science.
Oh, never. I know. That's a given. What do you think? I have some kind of drunk? Oh, wait,
that's
yeah,
not
you do.
How chronology works.
No, not at all.
But John Logan is the writer. Is Sam Mendes coming back to direct?
Yeah.
All right, so...
It's just Roger Deakins isn't coming back, but...
All right, well, that was my big thing, is that people are like, you have to wait for Sam Mendes to be done. She's like, okay, the Bond movie... This franchise is literally designed so that nobody is a necessity. You can go on without anybody. Or you can go on with a completely different set of people between each movie. Just have a little bit of transition and make sure the people are good. So I don't understand why you need to have Sam Mendes back. But that said, he's also a talented filmmaker, and I'm totally on board with this.
Yeah, and Hoyt Van Hoytema is the DP. So
what's he done?
Interstellar, Tinker Taylor.
Those look awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And his name's Hoyt Van Hoyt.
I thought that Christopher Nolan always used Wally Pfister.
Wally Pfister had a direct Transcendence.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Because me and Cass are the only two people that like that movie. What else is on that list? We got the Peanuts movie, right?
Yeah,
that looks fun.
Well, they're doing what you should be doing, that they only have kids. It's not like, oh,
and it's
a bunch of
and it's very straight, you know, it's not like, let's modernize them. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just another Peanuts movie.
Yeah, it's not
like
doing
why do we have
doing,
to complicate this?
It's not doing Alvin and Chipmunks, it's not doing Smurfs.
Which, by the way, there's a fourth one this year, and I hate myself.
You didn't make it, don't hate yourself. Well, you're gonna hate yourself, but don't hate yourself for that reason.
It exists. I hate myself. Alright, what else do we got?
Well, what's the name of that guy who did Birdman?
Iñárritu, The Revenant. That's coming out. I don't know what it's about.
Weren't those the
It has Will Poulter, Leo DiCaprio, I'm pretty sure Tom Hardy, and he made Birdman, so I'm like, good to go, my friend.
Actually,
like, you can have whatever wackadoo opinions on superhero films you want. As long as you make good movies, I don't care. It's the same thing with, like, fucking Woody Allen or Roman Polanski. Or like, I don't care about you as a person, but...
Completely...
Make good movies.
Completely different...
Or fuck off.
Completely different topic. The new Always Sunny episode did a Birdman episode.
Oh, yeah. My friend Boz told me about that from Australia. I'm just like, I can't wait to see it.
So you have a friend Ross in New Zealand. I've heard
his name is Boz.
Well, I'm pointing out you have.
Oh yeah, Ross in New Zealand. Boz Linger, aka Boz. I just call him Boz.
Yeah, well that's what I'm saying. Ross in New Zealand, Boz in Australia. I'm just pointing out the rhyme scheme.
Yeah, it's the rhyme scheme, mate.
I really hope you have a friend named Kaz in Taiwan. It just goes north.
Well, I have a friend named Cass here.
No, but
Cass Ross Boz.
But that doesn't. Fit the rhyme scheme, and also the fact that each one's progressively going further northwest.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What else you got? Or is that it?
That was it. That's why I wanted to transcend to Always Sunny thing.
All right. is there anything in TV? Oh, wait, yeah, Daredevil! You go watch Daredevil on April 10th, because I told you. And if you do, I'll send you a Billy Club. Email me for a Billy Club, and I'll email it to your house, and I'll get a Billy Club.
You can't do it.
To fight crime.
Don't try to do it.
Fight crime. What else is cool on TV?
Always Sunny is pretty awesome.
The League is ending this year. Rip me. Galavant was pretty fun. for the 8 episodes, and I hope it comes back because it cliffhangered, and I, like, hate all of you for it.
Don't tell the audience you hate them!
No, I just hate the world, because it's like, why'd you cliffhanger that? That is such a dumb idea!
You just told the audience...
I know. But no one's watching, so that's why I'm gonna say that, because no one will care. What else is ending this year? Oh yeah, Parks and Rec.
Oh yeah, have you seen the new season yet?
Yeah, it's really funny. Treat Yourself, 2017.
I'm the parts about the new season I really like. There's a lot of plotting problems that I...
Oh, well, yeah, because it's a time jump.
Well, it's not just that it's a time jump. You can do a good time jump. I'm not against time jumps. In fact, I love when that Parks and Rec decided to do this. My thing is that there's things that they move a little too fast with. There's things that are a little too...
Like forward. April and Andy being too old, even though they look exactly the same?
I actually like that part. No, April's been my favorite character on the show, so I really like that now she's facing the fact that she's getting to an age that she always didn't want to be at. And she has responsibility, and it just kind of happened, and she's realizing that. I'm totally on board with that part. There's other stuff like, say... Leslie saying, I opened up my job at the Parks Department, and when I been trying to fill in that hole, now I'm going to make a national park. And it's just like, hey, you didn't open it up with you trying to fill the hole in Lot 47. You were already a park director for 5 years at that point. And the show has...
Oh, because probably she did nothing before that.
Well, no, it's the show saying...
Look at her boss. No, man. He's like, I want to take down the government.
But she's already... She's already...
Crazy, let me take down the government, because the government is just a tool that takes all of your lunch money away.
So, but either way, that's not what she actually set out to do. She was in the department for a few years and did stuff, and then the show starts. What they're trying to do is say, hey, it's a bookend, but they're really crowbarring a bookend. And then, even then, I was like, okay, I'll buy this, because clearly where you're going to is you're going to end with them building a national park, and that's her dream thing. But then that just kind of ends, too. So it's just...
They haven't even really... They just, like, sealed the deal. They haven't really built the park. Like, remember how the first season ends? It just ends with the lot being... I don't remember.
No, they don't fill the lot in that one because Andy falls in it.
Oh, right, yeah. Dumb Andy.
Yeah, which, like I said, Andy and April are the things I'm really liking this season. There's...
Tom is finally being a man.
Yeah,
after all these years, Tom, you're finally a man now.
Don't try to show off an impression that's not good. It'd be like if I tried to do a map.
Fuck you.
And thus, my point...
You have deprived everyone of cake, and now there's no cake. I hate all of you.
Your retort would never stand in court.
Oh, I know. That's why I don't go to court. I just flee the country. I'm Edward Snowden, dude. You can't see me. He can't track me.
Edward Snowden is tall and skinny and good at things.
Good at hacking.
No, you got...
Which I am clearly not, because I literally, like, deleted shit out of my computer using Terminal like an idiot trying to steal programs. Yeah, do you know any of that?
I didn't know that. I'm trying not to laugh, because that's actually tragic.
No, it's horribly tragic. I can't mount anything. Like... I have applications that I need to, like, use to, like, look at dailies, and I can't fucking mount them right now. So I literally told everyone for the rap party, bring MacBooks. We're gonna just go through everyone's MacBook.
Are you guys watching dailies for the rap party?
At the rap party, yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of this shit yet, so, like, I just figured, Cotton's MacBook didn't work, so...
Well, if we're going to go into this, we should probably mention what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah, I directed a film, you guys. I did it. I finally did it. I have a film under my belt.
Chris directed a short film called I'm Macbeth, which we're in an interesting position because I saw it at its conception when it was first written, and now you're watching it when it's getting filmed and completed.
Yeah, and let me say, like, the shot list he had was way different. I don't even know why he had a shot list that he, like, gave it to us. And we were just like, okay. I was just like, okay.
Well, explain, because I'm not quite sure what you mean. Was it more shots than necessary?
It was just too serious. It just was shots. Their shot list was designed so seriously that it just kind of, like, bugged us.
Alright, so what did you do?
We livened it up and made it a little more whimsical and humorous.
Alright, well, how do you... Like, just for the folks at home, how do you make... Because shot lists just sound completely dry, like, close up on this guy.
Exactly. No, it was that dry. What you have to do is literally find ways to make things funny within your frame. Like, in an Edgar Wright movie, for example.
Right.
Notice how things enter the frame really funny. Like, bones. Phones and fingers always enter the frame really funny.
You've been watching every frame of painting, haven't you?
I was just about to bring that up. Tony Joe's Every Frame of Painting on Vimeo, kids. It is your Jesus in film school.
And I don't always agree with it, but it's worth watching. Like, I love his David Fincher episode.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, his David Fincher episode's great. I think his Edgar Wright episode's great. I think that...
His Michael Bay one is actually really good.
Yeah, well, his Michael Bay one is talking about, like, why does Bay work when, say... Like,
his imitators don't.
Yeah, like, Transformers 4, even though it made the least of Transformers, it still made $200 million. Compared to, say, Battleship...
Which Bay...
Bombed spectacularly.
It is one of the biggest bombs of that year.
Yeah, which, granted, part of that's just because it came out 1 week after Avengers.
And Taylor Kitsch.
But still, even beyond that, Taylor Kitsch was in stuff leading up to that.
So. I met Taylor Kitsch, and I felt really bad. Like, I even told him that. I was just like, dude, I feel so bad for you, because I really love John Carter, and yeah, I wasn't a fan of Battleship, but I was still just like, man, they're really raw-dogging you. He's just like, yeah. Yeah, I'm just like a mopey dog.
So, but either way, that's... you're saying that if you lighten up the frame, if you just add if you add things to it, like, what would you add, and how would you convey that in a shot list?
Yeah, like, okay, for example, because this is what I would definitely call an Edgar Wright shot. There's a moment in the film where you see our lead character, Mike, and then we dolly out, you see the director, and then they have a two-way discussion. There's no, like, close-up here, close-up on director. It's just literally a two-shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this... stagehand literally run in with an axe that is a foreshadowing device as well, but he literally just like, here's the axe, ma'am, and she's like, careful, it's sharp. That's funny, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking genuinely funny. Now, if that was done in, say, two close-ups with, like, none of that visual interestingness, would you find that funny?
No,
right? You'd be like, yawn.
No.
Be like, student film, yawn.
No, framing can be funny, and, you know, and it's just, that is really an art form that people tend not to realize is an art form, and it's just, like, say, look at a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
They're funny because of the writing.
But they're not funny because nothing's going on.
Well, nothing's
around the writing.
Like, the cinematography is
flat, and it sucks because Oliver Wood was really funny in the first Anchorman as a DP, and then in the second one he just kind of like sleptwalked through it.
Still haven't seen either of them, so
jeez. Well, you're not missing much of the second, but the first, like, jeez. Oh. Jeez,
I just have honestly Anchorman, like, they were at a really weird stage for me because it was at an age where my parents wouldn't have taken me to see them in theaters, and then by the time they were here,
even though it was PG-13,
yeah. But...
Just for the record.
But if a parent has to take you to see a movie, they typically want to be interested in the movie.
Right.
So by the time I got to the age... By the time I got to the age where they were hitting Comedy Central circuits and whatnot, I'd lost interest in them. So I was really at a very, very awkward age where I wasn't able to catch an Anchorman or...
You can come over sometime and watch it.
But also, I don't really have that much of an urge to...
This is not like Napoleon Dynamite, my friend. This is, like, seminal. Like, Ron Burgundy has been featured in Empire Magazine as one of the greatest, like, fictional characters in cinema of the 2000s.
Empire Magazine lists The Phantom Menace as one of the greatest movies ever made.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Empire Magazine, I like it because it's not nearly as, like...
It's not as dumb as Total Film, because Total Film is dumb.
Well, what I was going to say before you interrupted me... was that the with Empire Magazine, they're trying to go away from, say, the AFI thing of, we're going to be nice and proper with our movie lists. They're trying to say, like, hey, come on, bro, let's take a look at this
list. Do they really? Maybe it's just because they're British that I gave them more credit, but fuck. That's pathetic.
They list the Phantom like, they're the kind of people who list Quentin Tarantino movies in top 10.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, Love and whatnot.
Yeah.
But they'll also list, say, The Phantom Menace. Sometimes they do things for the sake of controversy more than anything else. Like, say what you want about the AFI list, you don't look at that and go, that was a controversial choice right there.
Yeah.
The closest you get that is Titanic, even then you can see why they would put Titanic on there.
Exactly.
Disagree with that movie. So it's really the choice between the people who are trying to make a statement, but it's just like, whoa, what are you going to do about man? Or
what are you going to do about it, fella?
Or the people who are just going, come now, please, let's have a spot of tea and talk about the films of Stanley Kubrick.
Because they do that sometimes, and they, I guess they bro out and I don't notice.
Yeah. Well, Empire's the ones who bro out.
No. Like, they'll be, like, really smart about it, and then they'll bro the fuck out and it goes right over my head.
Yeah.
Again, I used to be the guy that thought, nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too quick. I catch it.
So yeah, Empire...
Isn't that the moment where you're supposed to go, I'm surrounded by the biggest idiots in the galaxy?
I've only seen the movie twice, Chris. I don't know it by heart.
I've seen it like 20 times, though.
I know you have, Chris. You have a problem.
And I have a big problem.
And that problem is you don't have enough going on in your life.
I have a girlfriend, finally, but that's besides the point.
That doesn't count as a thing going on in your life always.
To other people.
Is it... She's not in town. She's a girlfriend over Skype at this point.
Yeah. True. What the fuck else? I'm directing a couple music videos in the coming weeks. Managing for my band Pride Meat. Or not my band, but the band I manage for, Pride Meat. And they're doing the music videos for that. Basically, like, the first one we got going on is, like, a performance video, but, like, it starts out with them eating in a cookout, and, like, we're gonna have one of them just, like, shit themselves and then move all the shots into this, like, bathroom in their practice space.
So
they're literally gonna be playing on the toilet.
So what goes into, like, when you're doing a music video...
Well, performance videos like that are really, like, it's literally, like, finding interesting angles while they perform and just, like, capturing that kind of moment. As well as, to me, just to make things, like, funny, like, doing shit like that, like, having them play on the toilet.
Well, I don't think that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. Like, say, look at Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al. Have you seen that music video?
No.
It's a really basic one. There's three shots in it. It's he and Chevy Chase walk into a room. Now, that's already funny because Paul Simon's...
Because Chevy Chase...
Because Chevy Chase is 6'5", Paul Simon's 5'3".
Oh, yeah, dwarf.
Did he
know something?
What?
Paul Simon was married to Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, he wrote several songs about it. That record I have right here, Hearts and Bones...
Yeah, the last song, right?
No, it's the second song. It's about one
half. No, like the last song he wrote about Carrie Fisher.
Because
in her stand-up special, Wishful Drinking on HBO, she talks about the last song. She's just like, you know...
No, the last song on there...
Last song he ever wrote about her. Not on that album.
Okay.
Like, she's like, yeah, if you ever get a chance to date a songwriter like Paul Simon, I'd say do it.
Like, I'm trying to think about what the last one is, because there's also stuff on Graceland that was about her. And I think even Rhythm of the Saints.
Yeah.
But
it probably is on Rhythm of the Saints.
Yeah, but that album right there... has a song called Hearts and Bones, which is about one and one half wandering Jews traveling through.
And she's half Jewish.
Yeah.
She also talks about, like, the Hollywood incest that goes on in her family.
Yeah.
Like, how her our age daughter, like, might literally be, like, sleeping with her dad's second wife's, like, distant, like...
Can I go back to what I'm talking to? Because this is really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. It's just... It was... Her stand-up special, it's Wishful Drinking on HBO. Fucking gold.
Sure.
Like, her and the Gerard Carmichael stand-up special that came out, Love at the Store or whatever, so good. He has this bit about how, like, talent is more important than morals, and I'm just like, yes, dude.
Can I go back to what talking about?
And don't do that ever again, or I'll eat you. just talk.
But the music video, You Can Call Me Al... is actually him and Chevy Chase just sit down. Chevy Chase is dressed like Art Garfunkel. And just as they're about to start singing the first line, a man walks down the street and says, why am I stuck in the middle now? Why am I stuck in the middle of the rest of my life so hard? Once he starts saying that, Chevy Chase picks up on it, and Paul Simon just sits there awkwardly as Chevy Chase sings in his voice, for the entirety of the song.
God.
So it's
Chevy Chase on them guest vocals.
Yeah, well, Chevy... Well, the thing is, he's literally... It's not like Chevy Chase is singing. It's Paul Simon's voice.
Oh, it's
like Chevy. Yeah, Chevy Chase is lip syncing to it. But it's amazing because it's making a joke about Art Garfunkel. It's a really funny music video in its own right, even if you don't realize it's an Art Garfunkel joke. And it's done in 3 shots.
Simple setups.
Yeah, it's a very simple setup. But that's one of the... that's the thing. Is that a performance video or is that a music video?
That's a music video.
Yeah.
Performing with instruments, like where you can see every like note tabbed out, is that's what I would call performance.
Alright.
I mean, I still have my notes from directing the music video, so just give me a sec. It's basically like there are a bunch of ways that you could do music videos that aren't really like that well known to the public.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, actually, is that where do you begin on the idea for a music video? Does the band say, hey, we have this idea?
Okay, like, performance is like Coldplay's Speed of Sound, if you ever saw that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, like, your concept video, which is just like you take a song from the album and then write out the concept as a video. And then you do a story where it's not really the concept of that song, it's just a story surrounding that song.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the gag video, which is kind of like what we're doing, a performance gag. You got a dance video, which is literally like just...
People dancing to it.
No. And then an animation, a party video, which is like kind of what every rap album is. And then film clips, which are just like, you know, like promotional cross film. Like the fucking The Fuel song and the Daredevil soundtrack.
Yeah, or say the Up in the Air music video.
Yeah, exactly.
But the...
The Boyhood one with the Family of the Year.
But the thing I wanted to ask about that is, say early Beatles ones, where it's just like, they're not going to perform this live for us anymore, so we still need to promote this song, let's just take them out in a field, and they do random shit, and...
I would call it a gag? I don't know. I just feel like that proto-music video shit, like what the Beatles were doing with those films, is literally like its own animal, you know? Like... There's really no way to categorize it because it was before the 90s when we had a full-blown music video industry.
Yeah, well, it's also just such a weird thing with the Beatles in their movies, that with the exception of Magical Mystery Tour, every single one of their movies, there's always a reason for why they're breaking the song. Like, Help, every time they sing a song, it's when they're actually, like, in the recording studio or something, my personal favorite joke in that movie... They need to record an album tomorrow, because the Beatles have to record albums in, like, a day in that universe. But, hey, they actually did that once, so...
Fuck you guys.
Please be recording one day over a course of 12 hours, because they said, hey, we might have something here, but we need to get it out as fast as possible, because we're not sure how long this will last. Who knows? The Beatles are flash in the pan in that mindset. So... In fact, the reason John Lennon's vocals on Twist and Shout sound like he's about to eat sandpaper is because
they've been doing it for like 12 hours.
12 hours. He's literally screaming because he threw out his voice. They had to do that entire song in one take. They tried to do a second take, but by that point they were too far gone. They couldn't do it.
That's why you warm up proper, John Lennon, you dick.
Well, it was 12 hours!
Vocal warm-ups, dude. It's a
12
joke.
Hours!
It's a joke.
But they,
But yeah, final.
But with Help, what they did was they said, we'll protect you while you record a music video. So they bring them out to a field, they're dressed up in a military band, and there's tanks surrounding them with armed forces, like, guarding them.
I'm pretty sure you could categorize Beatles music videos as Beatles.
Yeah, more or less. Like, it's interesting looking through, seeing... Like, that's one of my favorite era of music videos.
Like, the Bob Dylan video with the, like, the lyric cards, I would call that a proto-lyric video, because that's what you see a lot of now, but, like, the lyric video for that one, I would call, like, a concept gag at the time, because it's literally that. It's like, you're taking the words from the song, but it's, like, gag. It's literally just showing the words. You know?
Or something like, have you ever seen the music video of You're Beautiful?
The James Blunt song?
Yeah, it's a stupid music video. But it's...
But that's a concept.
Oh, it is?
Totally. Yeah, because he kills himself in the end, right?
Well, he just jumps into the water.
Yeah. Or no, that would be more story. Yeah. Well, because the song ends with that last line that I forget, but it's definitely not about killing himself.
Right, yeah, because there are such weird areas, and music videos, I would never, if someone asked me, hey, how would you do this music video, I would never know where to begin unless you're literally just following what happens in the song. Because that's the only thing, like, say if you told me, Casey, make a music video for Graceland, it'd be somebody on a bus with a 9-year-old kid, and that's all it would be. My traveling companion is 9 years old, he's a child of my first marriage, I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. I don't know what to do beyond that.
I mean, that'd be pretty tight. Yeah, honestly.
It'd be fun, it'd be cute.
And honestly, like, just as on the concept of metal music videos on the whole, like, I'm really getting sick of them. Like, a lot of them are just straight-up performance, and, like, there's nothing visually interesting going on anymore because every single fucking angle has been explored to death. But,
we even have the up towards the crotch.
There are a couple music videos, or music video directors out there that do metal videos, like, primarily, that I think are, like, tight as fuck. It's really Mitch Massey, because extremely whacked-out visual guy. David Brodsky, because he could literally do anything. Like, tell him to do a gag, he does it. Tell him to do a story, he does it. Tell him to do a fucking, like, 8-bit video, he'll do it. And then Michael Panduro, who literally is like, fuck performance, let's just take concepts, twist them a little, so that they're a little more visually interesting rather than lyrically interesting, and then just make some of the most disturbing, sick shit out there. Like, I've seen him have a film about, like, you know, Tarnished Gluttony by Jaffa Cowboy. It's basically, like, the song is about, like, global corruption and, like, you know, monetary corruption. And he decides to take it into an old gods reference, like Cthulhu, like H.P. Lovecraft, in which this very Swedish man has this somewhat alive Swedish child, cuts him open, takes out the stomach, puts an octopus in him, and then tosses him into the sea.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But it's just like, dude, that is some visual balls. But yeah, that's what I want to do more of that. Like, just be like, I want to make a statement, and I want it to be the band's statement as well as my own statement. And I like these bands, so therefore, I kind of want to make sure it's on their page.
So
I like to visually represent the band.
So are you pitching these ideas for what you're going to do with the video to them? Like, was it you who said, hey, how about you guys, one of you eat some bad food and has to go shit
out? That was me, but they were like, they want to just do a performance to get something out, like, immediately, because doing the other stuff definitely takes its time. And let me be very clear on this, performance also takes its time. Like, you have to really plan out those shots.
Well, like, it depends. Like, say, you've seen David Bowie, Life on Mars music video, right?
Yeah, the one where it's just like...
Yeah, it's just him.
The close-up thing, right?
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
Close-ups, a few...
Hey, you walked into my music video class when you were watching Life on Mars.
I walked by it when you were watching that.
Yeah.
That video is, I think, 4 shots, maybe?
Yeah, it's 4 shots.
It's very simple. And they probably...
It was, like I said, it's also in that proto-music video era.
Yeah, but they were probably able to do that in about a day.
Yeah.
And
because it's probably shot on film, I'd still say that probably took a little planning.
Yeah, well, yeah, shot on film. Like, even if it's shot digitally, it does take planning.
Yeah.
But even then, Bowie's a little overexposed in that. So.
Yeah.
So
I think that they're trying to just make it look like Aladdin Sane, to be honest with you. That's what I thought.
Well,
anyway.
That was before Aladdin Sane.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because Life on Mars was in 1971 with Hunky Dory. Yeah. Aladdin Sane was 73. Why do I know that?
Because you do.
Yeah, because David Bowie's awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
I actually didn't realize it.
I haven't been listening to that new album, and I'm like, kind of like.
Oh, the wait, the next day or?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
Okay.
And bear with
me. Is it like The Endless River? Because, like, I still haven't listened to that either.
The Endless River is frustrating, but I like it. The next day is legitimately awesome.
Okay.
But.
That makes me more enthused.
Yeah, well, the thing about David Bowie is that he never really had a bad era of music. He's done albums that don't work.
It's just not in the right era, probably, right?
Yeah. Well, not even not in the right era. It's just like, okay, here's one album that doesn't work in between two that really work. Like, say, I'm not a big fan of Let's Dance, but that's also...
Who is?
Well, a lot of people are.
Really?
Let's Dance is...
Not either.
It's one of his most popular albums.
Oh.
Well, do you know the story about why...
Sheeple. No,
do you know why it's so... why that's probably his most poppy album there is. It's because he had a really bad contract where his agent was getting 50% of his. And well, the thing is,
so he lowballed it.
No, that's his most successful album, and it's his
like artistically lowballed it.
No, because that means that guy would be getting 50% of the profits for him not doing any of the work.
Oh.
So what he did was he had a number of years where his albums weren't very successful, but that's where he got his most artistic statements. That's where he got Scary Monsters. That's where he got
Artist.
No, this was before Sleeky.
Damn it.
This was, I'm talking late 70s when he was high on cocaine. He has no memory of writing Station to Station. But think about it. That album, Station to Station's 5 songs, and they're all really fucking long. So it's not nearly as commercial. Neither is Scary Monsters. Neither is any of his stuff. Because half his proceeds weren't even going to him anyway. Then the moment he gets out of that contract, he makes the most poppy, most commercially successful album they could possibly make. And therefore, that's the... And I'm convinced that's why. It's like, oh, he intentionally decided to make a super poppy album as a middle finger to his old agent.
Agreed. Well, so what are you doing?
I am writing. I am...
Okay. Keep studying, everybody!
Yeah, I'm writing! I have 2 feature films scripts I'm working on right now. One of them is...
You want to just say what genre they are so you don't give away your gold ideas?
They're both comedies, and they're both people dealing with the fact that they will one day die. And...
Typical.
Yeah. No, that's my thing. I have a lot of old Americana throwbacks. I have a lot of... pop culture references. Not like Insufferable, here's a Freebird Seltzer movie, but
I was just about to say the Freebird Seltzer reference from Vampire Suck.
Well, thing is, look at Wes Anderson. In the average Wes Anderson movies, there's as many references as a Freebird Seltzer movie. Or look at Rango. Rango is on the level of Date Movie when it comes to number of movie references, but they're not just like, oh, here's
Vincent.
Yeah, you can have that many movie references but still make something good, and I put a lot of references in my stuff. And while I'm working on those, I'm also working on a spec script for another class. And
tight. Is it your TV comedy writing with my roommate William Cooley?
Yeah. It is a TV comedy writing class, which is awesome and fun.
I'm roommate Willie Cooley.
Keep studying!
That was my roommate.
That was roommate Willie Cooley, and roommate... God, that's something like a guy who assassinated a president. Roommate Willie Cooley.
Yeah, because every time someone assassinates someone, they have 3 names. Lee Harvey Oswald, C. Thomas Howell.
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth, John C. Reilly.
The Rolling Stones.
Helena Bonham Carter. She assassinated Les Mis.
Hey, I like that movie. Fuck you.
Lily, I'm giving you a high five later.
Dude, why don't you give him a blowjob? God.
Brian Doyle Murray.
Hey, Brian Doyle Murray was on Flapjack, and that shit was tight.
He was also Jack Ruby in JFK, where he assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald.
Anything else you want to report on your...
I'm gonna be
last year of college!
Last 5 weeks?
Or, yeah, 5 weeks!
No, I'm gonna talk more about this stuff when it's finally all finished, and I submit it to the WGA, because I'm...
Oh, because then they can't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, once all that stuff is submitted in a few weeks, once I've done a few drafts, then, yeah, I'm going to talk more openly about this stuff. So, but until then...
I can't!
Until then, I'm going to ask you some more questions about the movie you're shooting later on, but I think we could call an episode.
Alright, let's call it an episode.
Let's call it an episode!
And even though I am totally not in school, keep studying.
Keep studying.